So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victory, and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
This morning in the house of the Lord, and we serve a God who will take us through the fire. Amen. And sometimes fires happen gradually, sometimes they happen suddenly, but whether it's something that catches us off guard or something that we've been in for a while, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He'll walk you through it. Every step, every mile, every lap, God is your guide and He is your God. He is my God. I'm thankful for that. Who's that back there in the back? Is that Brother Kevin? Looks like Brother Kevin with us. So good to have you, brother. And Hope Bible College has been going great. Brother Kevin Brook has been attending Champion Bible College, Christian College, over, I'm wanting to say Arizona, but it's Arkansas. Both start with an A. And anyway, I'm easily confused if I'm not careful, if I don't strain. But anyway, so good to be here this morning. So good to have Brother Kevin with us. And let me say something right quick right here at the first of the service this morning. I had on my desk this morning a set of CDs that says, what is real revival? And if you want real revival, nobody left a name. Let me just say this. If you're watching on Facebook and you left those CDs in the church mailbox, I want to speak with you. So if you will contact me, and I want to know what real revival is. And so that's about all I'm going to say about that. But if you left those CDs, whoever you are, please contact me. And so we can get this church having revival. But anyway, I'm trying not to get in the flesh this morning, but I'm in. Had a good time of prayer and study yesterday and last night, and just as the devil would have it, left a bomb on my desk. But that's okay, because we're not worried about that right now. We know that where the Lord blesses, the enemy always shows up, and so we're prepared for whatever old Slewfoot may have. I do want to mention some prayer requests this morning. Mike Mullins, he's a missionary. Brother Don Rich had contacted me about Brother Mike Mullins' wife, who has thyroid cancer, and I believe she was supposed to go back this week to see if it spread, what the deal is with that, and so help us lift up this missionary family, this wife, and the husband as he attempts to support his wife. Let's remember Brother Eddie Rich and some back situations he's having, some skin cancers that he has to have removed on the subject of skin cancers. Miss, my goodness, she's right on my mind right now. Come on, Justin. Ruby Harper. Thank you, Miss Claudia. See, you're so valued around here, Miss Claudia. I really do need you. And I thank you for getting that for me. Miss Ruby Harper, she had skin cancer surgery this week, and as much as I know, she's doing good. That's what her son Steve told me. So let's continue to remember her. Travis Puckett, he's the one who came down on Wednesday night of our Jubilee that God blessed and saved a soul. And so let's just remember him in prayer. Come to find out, he is a member of a church. Locally, but I've been reaching out to him, and so let's just pray that he'll get planted and get rooted. Also, Miss Marianne Sanity, she's headed to Florida. She's probably already there. Her sister is in hospice care, from what I gather, what she told me, struggling to breathe, not doing well at all. Please remember Miss Marianne. Brother Ed, he's at home. Miss Cassie is taking care of things there, along with Miss Marianne's sister, Miss Marianne's daughter and son-in-law. So remember this family. Miss Helen Bennett, she was supposed to have surgery tomorrow. I contacted her, and she says that's been changed to April the 4th. So let's... A meeting about surgery. And so we're not trying to put Miss Helen in surgery if she ain't got to have surgery. Or no sooner than she asked to. Let's remember her. Let's remember Miss Nancy Farmer. Her daughter is in the hospital. Been there a couple of days with a swollen hand. Of course, her daughter's concerned about it. And because she's concerned about it, Miss Nancy, I'm sure, is concerned about it. So let's remember her in prayer as well. David and Glenda Henderson, friends Gary and Kim. These are two separate people. They're not a couple, but they have... They're in dire need of our prayer with physical problems they're dealing with. And also, let's remember Charlie Wilson, who has Parkinson's disease, a broke hip, and also he has colon. Is it colon cancer? Prostate. Thank you. Prostate cancer. Let's remember him in our prayers. I know there are several others that stand in need of prayer, and so let's remember everyone in the church body. Yes.
Like,
Absolutely. Let's certainly remember this prayer request this morning. So good to have our visitors with us. We have a second time visitor this morning, so you're pretty much home family now. So appreciate you being with us, and others too. I'm sure there's others watching on Facebook. This may be your first time. Thank you for doing so. And tell you what, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Kevin, you want to come on down? Got to take advantage of you, brother, while you're here. And we're proud of Brother Kevin. And again, he's been gone for a little while now to Champion Christian College. But Brother Kevin, you come and come on around, brother, and take us to the Lord in prayer. Good to see you, man.
Dear Lord, Father, I thank you for today, Father. I thank you for bringing me back home safely, Father. Father God, I thank you for your kindness to me, Father God. I thank you for keeping us here today, Father God. I ask that you bless us, Father God, that you open up our hearts today that we may hear you, Father. Father God, I ask that you slow us down, Father God. Take away all our distractions and focus our hearts on you. I thank you for your son, and I thank you for your kindness. I ask that you lead us and guide us. I pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Church, would you stand with me? Choir, stand with me. And turn over to page number 390. And let's sing that. I believe they were playing a few moments ago, that there is power in the blood. Remember a couple of other announcements this afternoon at 3 o'clock. COU ladies all are invited to attend, so please come and be a part of that. 3 o'clock this afternoon. That is correct, right?
That is correct. And we're going to meet in the fellowship hall. We're
going to be meeting in the fellowship hall, ladies, at 3 o'clock. COU immediately following COU will be choir practice at 4 or whenever they get done. So choir, you go ahead and be here with me at 4. And we'll get started real soon after that, and we're excited about that. Easter is right around the corner. It's the greatest holiday that we celebrate is the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Someone say amen right there.
Amen.
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 Let's try it all together now. Someone say amen right there.
Amen.
What I'm talking about. Amen. Thank you. It is. We come celebrate. You know, every Sunday truly is Easter for the child of God. Amen.
Yes.
We come to worship and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. But that'll be a great Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning. Please make plans to be here. We have a little something that we want to share with you, and I hope that it will be a blessing. Invite someone to come to church on Easter Sunday morning. You won't want to miss this, okay? So we'll go ahead and just get that out there to you. But please be making that a matter of prayer. The choir will be working. I need to check with Pastor, but our plan is to have a little bit of a drama for that. I don't mean have drama, okay? Don't get me wrong there. I don't even like to call it a skit, but we're going to have a program on Easter Sunday morning that we pray will be a blessing. Invite someone to come. It'll be a great time to be in the house of the Lord. But we're glad to see you here this morning. Thank you if you are visiting with us. You're our special guest, and we're thankful that you have chosen Calvary as your place of worship. Let's go to him now in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service as well as on the offering. Brother Jeff, you take the floor this morning.
Didn't understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. the shore, they face a storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their name, and tenderly he said, "It is I." He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my days. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the storm. They didn't understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with a little faith in God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face the storm, and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, "It is sunshine, and my ship is tossed and torn. He's the eye of the storm. Do not fear when he is near. Take hold of his strong hand. Listen closely to his words. He is the great I am. He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my ways. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of
Listen for 1 second. I want you to look at the choir. Y'all enjoy the choir singing this morning? Amen?
Amen.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I believe there's a chair up here with your name on it. Now, there's some folks I know, you've been praying and you've been thinking, you know what? It's time for me to get back in the choir. Easter would be a great opportunity for you. So why don't you go ahead and come back? Look, there's not a whole lot of chairs left, but there's a few of them. Amen? And if God's speaking to your heart and you want to come back and be a part of the choir, it'd be a great opportunity for you to be here at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And we can fill this choir loft up. Hey, we always say, boy, I wish it was like it used to be. Have anybody in this church ever said, I just wish it was worship like it used to be? Hello. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but God hasn't changed. He never changes. He's always the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. Who has moved then? I said it last week. I'm going to say it for a little while. We can't continue to live in the smoke where there's been fire. So go ahead and rekindle yourself and get your wood back up here that's wet. Let's let God dry it back out. Amen? Can't be a fire with wet wood, Brother Don. But I'm telling you, if God is speaking to your heart and you want to be a member of this choir again, or you've never been a member, we would be more than thankful to have you as we worship together. Hey, I wouldn't care if every one of y'all was up here. We're just going to worship the Lord together anyway. Amen? We're not singing to us. We're singing to an audience of one. So if everybody's up here, I'm tickled to death, because I'm telling you, God wants to do something in this music program, and God help me to be the leader. Amen? Hey, you're not a leader if you look around and you ain't got nobody following you, so I need some followers. Amen? Thank you. Choir, you can come down. Give them a hand clap of thankfulness this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's worthy of our praise. Thank you.
Praise the Lord this morning. I told Brother Allen to preach on. Preach on. We need preaching, don't we, brother? We need preaching. And please know, please know, preaching, Brother Allen does preaching that I do, preaching that others do around here, the teaching that others do around here is from a heart of love, from a heart of love. And but there's a fire to it, isn't there, brother? There is a fire. God has put in the hearts of leaders visions to see where, to know where the church was, but to lead the church into new areas, new pastures. And God is not through with the church. He's not through with the local church. He's definitely not through with His body, the church. And so this morning we all have assignments, don't we? Yeah. To find out what God wants from us and then pour our lives into it. Judges chapter number 1. Judges chapter number 1 this morning. So good to be here. Judges chapter number 1. I feel I have the message for this morning's service. I feel like I have the right one for tonight. And so, Lord willing, we'll try to fulfill in preaching those messages. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we want to read verse 1 and 2 out of Judges chapter 1. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you this morning for who you are, for what you do. God, I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Lord, I pray this morning that you would bind off every evil spirit, every principality, every power of darkness. Bind them off of my mind and me in this church. Lord, evidently there's a great work you want to do today, and I pray that you'd use your word to accomplish what we can't as humans and what the flesh cannot accomplish. We love you today. We thank you for every person that is represented here today. And Father, we just praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Judges chapter number 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" Then verse number 2. And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." Please make note this morning where he says, "I've delivered the land into his hand." He's talking about the tribe of Judah. This morning, the children of Israel had come a long way since the days of living in bondage in Egypt. Moses, their first leader, was the reluctant leader, the reluctant speaker. In the very beginning, Moses just could not understand how he could be God's mouthpiece. So therefore, he had Aaron, his brother, to come alongside and to be a help to him. And so Moses led the people of God through hills and valleys, through good times, through bad times. Miracles were performed. In particular, there was a time when they were coming out of Egypt, and Pharaoh had changed his mind about letting the people go. And they came to a place of dead end, a place where there was no exit. It was the Red Sea. But we know that Moses stood still. He knew that it was God that placed him in his position, and therefore he would not fear what man could do unto him. So he held up the rod of God as God would have him, and the waters were divided. They rose up on a heap on both sides, and on dry ground, Moses and the children of Israel were led into victory. Closed the waters up on Pharaoh and his men, and his chariots were sunk in the middle of the Red Sea. And some even say that those chariots and remnants of those chariots are still there today. How about that? And so we know that miracles were performed by God and the leadership of Moses. And we know that several things took place as far as these miracles. They went to a place called Marah. They were thirsty. They could not drink. And the people murmured and Moses cried. And the Lord showed him a tree. He cast the tree in the waters. The bitter waters were made sweet. Of course, this is a shadow of the cross. What the cross of Calvary can do to the bitter soul, not only it can save someone and place them positionally on a route that's headed to heaven, but could also turn the Christian's bitter waters sweet if you apply the cross. And again, many things happened. So Moses came to the end of his life and he died. And when Moses died, the work had to continue. The fight had to go on. And so, therefore, God had his successor, Joshua, in place. Joshua had gleaned many things from the life of Moses, Aaron, and the elders. And so Joshua led the people, as you know. He led them through the Jordan River. It was swelled. It was time of harvest. It was an impossible feat. But yet God allowed them to pass through. Kind of pictures what happened with Moses under his leadership in the Red Sea. As Joshua and the children of Israel passed through, the Jordan River, they came into Canaan. And the first place they had to deal with was, one of the first places was Jericho. It was a fortified place because those who had overtook that particular vicinity had heard that God had led the children of Israel through the Jordan River, and they were afraid. They were afraid at the mighty works of God. And so the Bible says at Jericho that none came in and none went out. It was barred and it was bolted. This was a place that must be destroyed so that the people of God can enjoy Canaan. And you know the instruction that was given. March around Jericho and seven times, and then on the seven times I believe it was. Anyway, nonetheless, we know that the walls came down and victory was given. And so Joshua was that faithful leader who led the people into Canaan. And we know that God was faithful to feed them with the manna each and every day along their journey. And the Bible says that the Canaan actually stopped when they reached Canaan land. And so now we have the death of Joshua. The death of Joshua. And after the death of Joshua, the children of Israel in verse number 1 called on God because they needed someone to lead them to the destruction of the enemy that's in their own land. So this morning, that's where we're at in the scriptures. And this morning, I like to preach a few moments on this subject, the call to continue. The call to continue. Now that Joshua had died and went on to be with the Lord, Israel still wasn't at a place where they can enjoy the blessings of God. Many enemies was in Canaan's land. And in order to enjoy God's land and be at peace, they had to continue. I heard a story one time of early one morning in San Francisco. A beginning swimmer attempted to swim from Alcatraz prison to San Francisco Bay. It was only 2 miles, and by a skilled swimmer, could be swam in 20 minutes or so. It was an extremely foggy morning. This beginning swimmer tried to accomplish this goal, and so he went hard at it for a while. Then he began to be paranoid about the waters he was in. He began to wonder and worry about sharks. And before he knew it, both legs were cramping, and he felt like there was no way that he can accomplish the other side, no matter how short it was. And so he blew the whistle that was around his neck. And so the boat came up to the side of him to rescue him. But to his surprise, he was only about 20 feet from the pier finishing line. This man gave up too soon. He was almost there. This morning, I feel like the Lord wants to remind all of us in this message to just keep going. To continue on. You are closer to the finish line than you can ever imagine. You are closer to a change of circumstances than you can ever think. We are certainly closer to heaven's shore than we ever have been in times past and forevermore. We are near the finish line, church. My word to you this morning, those watching on Facebook, is to keep going, to keep swimming, to keep warring, to keep shunning the appearance of evil, to keep fighting the flesh, no matter what may come your way, what wave of adversity, what bombs that may be on your office desk first thing in the morning. Keep going. Don't allow the enemy to steal how far you've come in the Lord Jesus. I want us all to be reminded this morning that there are valleys, or valleys are in between mountains. there's a mountain, there's a valley, and there's a mountain. If you're in the valley this morning, you're just in between mountains. That's all there is about it. Straightaways are around life's bends. You're going around a bend in the road, around a steep mountain, and it's a little road, a little narrow road. You feel like you're going to fall off. You feel like this is going to be forever. But I want to tell you, just around the bend is a straightaway. I say in the name of Jesus this morning, because He has saved you and sanctified you, and because you have a place in heaven, you owe it to Him and those that are watching you to continue on. Keep going around that dangerous bend. Keep fighting for life. Keep fighting for the church of God. Keep fighting for those who are following you and who you may not realize it or not, but you are really mentoring. They may not say you are a mentor of them. They may not say you're a blessing to me. But I tell you right now, the life that you are living, someone is watching you. The devil's on one hand, he wants you to give up. Jesus is on the other hand, he wants to enable you. And there are many lives that are watching to see how you will react as you go around this scary mountain you're going. This morning, continue. The call to continue. We have the people of God. They not only experienced Moses' death, but now Joshua's death. Joshua has positioned them in a really good place. From the way that I interpret the scriptures and reading the context here, they are in Canaan. But there's enemies in Canaan. There's fortified places in Canaan. And so they have to continue. They have to fight for what's theirs. They have to fight for that smile on their face. They have to fight to experience the victory that's coming. They have to fight to experience the peace that they want in their souls. And so therefore, the Bible says in verse number 2, "And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land in his hand." Three simple things this morning I want to mention, and then we'll go to the house. Number one, in verse number 1, in verse number 2, I want you to notice the enlistment of Judah. The enlistment. "Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And then verse 2, "And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." God enlisted Judah, the tribe of Judah, to go and lead the Israelites into Canaan land and fight for what belonged to them. Can I say in parallel form this morning that every person that God has saved and bought with his blood, he has enlisted in the same kind of fight. God has saved our souls from hell. He has saved us, those that are saved, to a place called heaven. Positionally, we are children of God. But practically, on a very practical, everyday basis, sometimes we wrestle with that, don't we? Well, I know I'm a child of God, but I'm living in a world that is dark. I'm living in a house of flesh where the inclinations are to sin, to sin, to sin. This morning, that's the total idea of the Christian life, is that we're living in these bodies that are prone to sin, yet we have a hope of heaven when we die. And so therefore, there has to be a fight while we're on earth. There has to be an engaging in battle. Jesus, if he has saved you, he has positioned you to have all the joy that you need to get you through. If you are saved by the grace of God, Jesus has positioned you to overcome sin. It was by the new birth that sin was put into neutral. Bill Stafford used to say that when a person gets saved, it takes sin out of the driver's seat and puts the gear in neutral. You do realize as believers, we don't have to sin anymore. Now, we will sin and we will fall short of the glory of God time and time again. But I think sometimes in life we use that reality as an excuse to not even try. Well, I will always sin, so I'm not going to really try not to sin today. But the truth of the matter is, those who have accepted Jesus, we are walking in the newness of life. The old man has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We have a new standing. We have new possibilities. We're in a new position this morning. And I want to tell you, the battle's not going to get any easier. The battle's not going to get any easier to enjoy the spouse that you have, to enjoy the families that you have. If you think the devil's going to leave your house alone, you're sadly mistaken. If you think the devil's going to leave you alone this morning and let you enjoy the peace of God, let you enjoy the power of God without any kind of a struggle, you are sadly mistaken. Because he is our adversary. And he is as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This morning we must fight for our families. We must fight for our marriages. As parents, we need to, and if you have a teenager, amen, we must be willing to outstretch our hand right in the middle of sin city, this cold and dark and dying world. We must be willing to get dirty and fight and battle to have our children blessed by the Lord. God help us this morning. Don't allow your children, your little lambs, to be led into this world to be eaten by wolves. I thank God for my daughter, our daughter. I thank God for teenagers. I thank God for toddlers. I thank God for infants. I thank God for children. But children got to be led. I'm getting ahead of myself in what I'm about to say, but I want to say it. In chapter number 2, turn to chapter 2, please. In chapter number 2, in verse number 7, this is a second introduction of chapter 1, but it's from God's perspective. Chapter 2, verse 7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Notice this. The children of Israel were being led by the hand of Moses. And because of that, Moses guided them and kept them in the middle of God's will. Moses died. Joshua led them, did his best to keep them in the center of God's will. And all of those that had been following did the same thing. Those that followed Moses, they followed his leadership and did the right thing. Those that followed Joshua, as we're reading at this morning, they went into battle and did the very same thing. But in chapter 2, in the verse I just read to you, after Joshua died, then the elders died. What happened, Brother Justin, after those elders died and there was nobody hot after God anymore? There arose a generation that sought not the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was there was a mixed multitude that came out of Canaan. And because of this, because after Moses died, and because after Joshua died, and because after the elders died, and in Israel they were mixed with a mixed multitude. Jesus, the Bible says in verse number 3, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. After Moses died, after Joshua died, after the elders died, there was a generation that sought not the Lord. And so this morning, it falls on my generation. We've heard about how some wants it to be like things were. And I know what Brother Allen was talking about. He knows that God can make things like they've never been much better than they once were. But there's going to come a time and day when all these elders you see in this room are going to die and go and be with the Lord. And who's going to be left? My family, the Hancocks, the Martins, a few others that are young, the children's home, those that are in the children's home are going to be left. Whose shoulders does that fall upon? That falls upon my shoulders. That falls upon your shoulders. This morning I said all of that to say this, that we must keep battling for our families. Don't stop serving God, leaders. Dads, moms, grandparents, don't stop coming to church. Don't stop involving yourself with the things of God, because we're only one generation away from total ruins. Total ruins. And so we see here that there was a generation that followed not God in chapter 2. Now go back to chapter number 1. We're looking at the enlistment of Judah. God enlisted Judah to battle, to receive what belonged to them. God has enlisted us to battle, to receive what belongs to us from Him. We must fight to experience victory. We must fight to have peace in our souls. We must fight to have harmony in our homes and marriages. Every smile is fought for. Every moment of gladness is gone after with all of our heart. These things, church, are not, they're not owed to us. These things are not owed to us by the Lord. He only promised to offer us salvation, but then, and He also, He promised to energize us and enable us to have victory, but it's not just going to happen without a fight. This morning, engage in battle. This morning, strive. Listen, this morning, the call to continue is still being heralded. We must continue. We must continue regardless of the shape that our world's in, regardless of the sins we've committed yesterday, regardless of the failed accomplishments we've tried for. We must bow a knee and repent and ask God to forgive us, not to save us all over again, but to give us a fresh glimpse of His grace so that we may be able to continue. We see the enlistment of Judah. But then, look in verse number 2, we see the encouragement of Judah. The encouragement. And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But I know what tense delivered is in, what form. Past tense. Delivered? Am I wrong? Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. The battle was already won. The stage was already set. The only thing that must happen now is for Judah to fight. God now encourages Judah by telling Israel that the battle is already won. The land is already theirs. I'm not telling you anything you don't know this morning, but I pray that you hear it brand new. The land was theirs. The battle would be won. But he chose Judah to do it. God has chosen us to fight this morning. The blessings are already there. The battle's already been won. And like Brother Allen said this morning, speaking about the choir, if the choir didn't move, we're not in the choir. Who moved? In our own personal lives, in our Christian experiences, if we are living in defeat, if we're in bondage to sin, if there's something in our life that is pounding us and that is making our life miserable. Jesus didn't move. Who did? Who did? It's like the couple that used to drive in the old pickup truck, and they sat side by side for years. Then one day, the woman moved over to the passenger seat, and she says, "I just don't feel close to you anymore." And the husband looked over and said, "Who moved? Who moved?" God has not moved this morning. Same God. We have the same powers as we've always had since the new birth. So who moved? The Bible tells us that, "Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand," verse number 2. The battle's been won. The stage has been set. The possibilities are there. Judah is positioned for victory. If we're not experiencing victory in our life, who moved? The Bible tells us that believers have already won the battle. We just need to engage. We have the ability to win. The men of God wrote to the people of God in their day, but it wasn't meant to encourage them only, but us. God was writing and responding to the children of Israel, but it was about Judah. They asked who was going to lead them to fight, and the Lord said, "Judah will. I've delivered the land into his hand." So he was speaking to Israel about Judah's victory. We have the Bible this morning. The Bible doesn't say in Judges chapter 1 and verse 1, "Justin Hales, you've got the victory. Start running, brother. Start running, son." It doesn't say that. But the Bible is filled with places that says those who belong to God have power to overcome. The Bible does say, "Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world." And we know who wrote that, and we know who John wrote that for. But you see, we come along as those who are born again, and we're able to adopt that, to live on those promises, because they're to us as well, the Gentiles. And so they receive the encouragement in verse number 2. Judah receives this encouragement to fight. Bible tells us time and time again, the need is supplied, the provision is there. All we have to do is trust. Let me mention something else. Flip over if you would. We're in chapter number 1, the book of Judges. Look in verse number 19. We see the enlistment of Judah, the encouragement of Judah, but then I want to mention just for a few moments the education of Judah. Israel had been experiencing victory after victory. You don't have to turn there, but verse 4 through 8 talks about their victory they've been experiencing. Verse number 10 is just another victory that Judah experienced. And so they know what it's like to experience victory. They started on the mountaintops. In fact, verse number 9 recants some of this. They started on the mountaintops, and then they ended in the valley fighting. And verse number 19 says this, "In spite of the victories they've had been experiencing, they now could not win." Look in verse number 19. "And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron." They were on the mountain fighting, victory after victory after victory, but it was those low plains. It was the valleys that were in between those mountains is where they struggled. And I don't know if I have it right this morning or not, but that's where we struggle as well. On the mountaintop, listen, we can charge the devil with a squirt gun. We can defeat the devil any day on the mountain. When everything's right Everything's in place. Everybody's nice. No tongue lashings. No nothing. And listen, all the bills are paid and everything is fine and dandy. On the mountain we can win. But it's in the valley is when our faith is really tried, Miss Shirley. But did you know this morning that the same God that was with them on the mountain was the same God that was with them when they lost in the valley? Who changed? It was the perception of Judah that changed. Man, they seen them chariots coming. Wah-pah, wah-pah. You should have seen me last night going around the house doing that. Wah-pah, wah-pah. Oh? Christy trying to cook and I'm getting her with the imaginary whip. Dog chasing me. Lily ain't got a clue what's going on. I read about these chariots and different kinds of chariots. But the chariots of iron, you got to go back and look at all the history and the archaeological stuff in history books. And you'll find out that some of these chariots had like an iron shield in front of them. And some of these chariots had three men in them. There were one on each side who were armor bearers on top of the iron shield. They were armor bearers. And the one in the middle had bows and arrows. Now, any chariot, iron or not, I couldn't imagine facing in Bible days. You know, here I am running with God in my heart and, you know, and pride in my soul that I want this land. God gave it to me. But any kind of chariot's coming. But the thing about the chariots of iron is, no matter what you do, you can't defeat it. No matter what you do, you can't defeat it. I'm not preaching to people this morning who hasn't been in the valley and have won victories. I'm not preaching to people this morning who hasn't had chariots of hell come at you with fire on the wheels. But because of your prayer life and God's intervention, you were able to have victory out of that thing. But the reason why they couldn't defeat them chariots of iron is because they just couldn't get to them. The shields and so they were very intimidated by these chariots of iron. They started coming to them and they couldn't conquer it. They couldn't stop them. They were made of iron. You've been in valleys before, but what about this valley you're in this morning? Where it's not just chariots and it's not just foot soldiers. You've conquered them. You know what it's like to win victory and say no to sin and yes to Jesus. You know what it's like to experience victory. But this time, there's chariots of iron in your valley. This trial has been protected by the evil one. This trial, this time of adversity, these chariots of iron that you're trying to defeat, you just can't defeat them because they're made of iron. Look in verse number 19. And the Lord was with Judah, period. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. Was God with them in the valley? Yes. So what was the problem? The perception of what they were seeing. Oh God, this one's going to get me for sure. Lord, this one's going to get me. God, I know you did it in the past. And Lord, I know on the mountaintop we went to war and we won. Lord, you have enlisted me in the fight, and we have fought to our fingers are down to bone. But this thing is foreign to me. This thing is different. Lord, I just can't. I can't win this victory. They're covered with iron. My storm is perimetered with iron and is fortified. I just cannot get a victory. want to say that there are times, if we're not careful, when fear eats at our faith. Fear eats at our faith. And I'm the first to say this morning that it's happened to me several times. I've testified and I've shared even recently of some of the victories God has allowed us to experience. So I won't labor on it anymore. But I'll just say this. There was a situation in our life that was sure enough a chariot of iron. There was no way I could defeat. There was no way that I could get victory. I tried. But it was because of the Lord being in control. And me ultimately plunging to that truth. God, I've tried. I'm so depressed. I'm discouraged, Lord. All I know is this. If the ship sinks, it's going to sink and you know about it. If the ship stays and we sail on, then praise the Lord, we sail on. But either way, this chariot of iron is your dilemma, not mine. David says the battle is the Lord's. And so I feel like this morning that there are some of us who are facing chariots of iron and we are still trying to fix it. We're trying to still get an arrow through those garments, one with shields, and we're still trying to conquer this. And no doubt that's what Judah tried. They tried to defeat these chariots of iron and could not. The perception moved upon their dilemma and off of the Lord. So hard to do, church. So hard to do this morning. But I do want to say that because of their defeat, if you look in verse number 21, Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites. Verse number 22 tells us that the Lord was still with Israel. Verse number 25, 27, Manasseh drove out the inhabitants of Bethshan and her towns. And you go on and you read it, in the very end, the Bible says, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Look at verse 28. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute or to work and did not utterly drive them out. I don't want to lose your attention this morning and run a rabbit. But because of their defeat, the Canaanites, they put to work. They didn't drive them out. They were trying to benefit from the enemy. They were called to drive them out, but they were still trying to benefit. They had one foot in the world and one foot in the promised land. Listen. This is the object of the message this morning. Judah received an education. They received an education. They knew what it was like to trust the Lord on the mountain. And they experienced not trusting the Lord. Or let me just say it this way. Struggling to trust the Lord in the valley. They received an education from this, no doubt. You go and you read chapter number 2. Chapter number 3 and so forth. They had times of victory, but it didn't come without a battle. It didn't come without a struggle. This morning, there's a call to continue on all of our lives. Will you this morning, if you've left off at some point in your Christian life, will you pick up and continue on this morning? As they come with a verse of invitation, that's the message. The call to continue, the enlistment, the encouragement, and then the education. The Lord will give us an education, won't He? During life's troubles and storms, I kind of feel like we're just dropping off of the sermon, but it's all there. You go back and you read. They learned, and then they messed up again. And then they learned. And then they messed up again. It's just a picture of our life this morning. But let us use what we've learned in our experiences to lead the way so this generation won't fall off. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Okay. I'll sing it.
The sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. He carries His children through like He said He would. Even in the valley, God is good. This road of life has led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. There is hope in that rugged cross where tears of darkness swell. Can't you hear Him gently whispering, I'm here and all is well? Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He is good.
Blessing to you. I normally don't get this up close and personal, but we love you this morning. Hope something was said that was a blessing to you. Meet us back here tonight. 4 o'clock choir practice, 5 o'clock for the evening service. Brand new direction tonight. Looking forward to the service tonight. And remember, CLU at 3 o'clock, men's deacons meeting, at the same time. And then so that leaves us with a brief afternoon, but it's going to be a great, great evening this evening. Anything to mention before we close this morning?
But if you're not coming to CLU and you're a lady, we want to have you. I can tell you for myself, just the being with other women is so encouraging. We have someone going to give their testimony today, and I'm sure it would be a blessing to you. So if you aren't coming, I don't care if you're 10 or 50. Just please, if you're a lady and you would like to come and sit with us, we would love to have you. And we would love some of our younger ladies to come as well. Because like we talked about this morning, we are the church. We are the ones that
Amen.
Have to carry on the torch. So I just pray that God will open a little door that you could make it back with us today at 3 o'clock. It would be a blessing, I'm sure. In the fellowship hall.
Yeah, in the fellowship hall. Very special speaker today. Don't want to miss it. It's going to be good. All right, that's all. We'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Everyone have a great afternoon. Brother Michael Bendy, close us out, brother.